T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to Overnight America. There we are. Another week starts right here on KMOX late at night. Too bad it doesn't start with the Cardinals win. Yay. Well, they made it was fun towards the end, right? The bottom of the ninth, at least they made a little entertaining. But Pujols being back in town, what a great send-off for him. Everyone standing and cheering for him. How often do you get to see that? A moment where someone from the opposing team gets a standing ovation. Very rare does that happen. Once in a while, there'll be such a profile player that'll make its way. And, you know, there's such a rivalry there. Dirk Nowitzki or whatever, the basketball player for Dallas, got that. And, you know, Kobe got that. Dwayne Wade. You know, sometimes you see that in the NBA. Baseball, you see it every once in a while, too. But there was a very special connection to this individual player. Pujols tipping his cap to a great sports city here in St. Louis. 11 years he was here, 9 playoffs, 2 World Series. He said, best fans in baseball. Isn't that cool? The fans that would be there inside the stadium this weekend to see him one more time, the 39-year-old, has done a lot of reflection, and he still owns a home here in St. Louis, I found out. He was enjoying himself. The smile on his face when he would go up to bat. The crowd would still stand in reverence to everything he did when he was a Cardinal and all the great memories that they left him. So they look at that, and you know, it's how often do you see an opposing team getting that sort of treatment, let alone them hitting a home run in your home park and you get the, you know, oh, nice treatment that way? Not so much tonight. Well, he didn't really get that. You know, he had an opportunity. I think it was at the top of the ninth, there was bases loaded, and everyone wondered, oh, is Pujols going to walk off a grand slam? No, he did not. But I will tell you this, the fans and everyone that went to enjoy that, they knew what they were getting into. They were getting into saying, you know, one last time, we want to be able to clap for Pujols here in our home soil, and that's the way it was going to be, which was really cool. Maybe you got emotional. I was on social media and people were saying they teared up when they saw Pujols and Yadi hug it out on the field. Hug it out. Wow, wasn't that something? Did you feel any emotions? I'm sure you may have. We're going to keep the phone lines open for you. And yes, you are invited to call 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Lots of emotions will be going around. We've got a lot to get to on the show tonight. An update on that officer who was shot, and it's not good. And we're going to talk a little bit about that coming up. Miriam Heyman is with the Ruderman Family Foundation. They have an event that's happening with the Cardinals on Tuesday morning for kids, which is actually really cool. Got a couple of food stories. Kansas City law enforcement, what they're doing to tackle gun violence. Maybe we can maybe look at that here for St. Louis, perhaps. Maybe. And is St. Louis growing? Well, I guess technically, yes. Is it growing at the same pace as other cities this size? No, not even close. So we got a lot to get to here on the show, too. Outside of Pujols, I wanted to mention that the Cardinals made an announcement over the weekend. They're going to be hosting the Stanley Cup on the 26th, which is Wednesday. Their game against, I think it's Oakland. It's a 6:15 start. Cardinals announced the Stanley Cup will make that appearance at Busch Stadium. You know, the place is going to go absolutely crazy. Apparently, they're going to have special T-shirts. They got these Glorious T-shirts, GLORIA-OUS. Isn't that nice? They're leaning into that, too. Any fans 16 or older, I guess the first 20,000 fans, they must have some pretty good printers out here because, man, it's not easy to pop up 20,000 shirts like that. Courtesy of TD Ameritrade, the T-shirt highlights the St. Louis Blues and their historic postseason run, as well as catcher Yadier Molina which is cool because you saw Yachty go to a lot of those home games just down the road at Enterprise Center. He was really into it. Yachty appreciates the sports scene here in St. Louis, and he appreciates the culture and the love of sports that the fans have here, which is really awesome if you think about it. You have this all-star, certainly an all-star, Major League Baseball player. You know, he puts in his time, and he even put towards his retirement track, so the club had enough time to prepare for this sort of thing. What's not to love about Yachty going to a Blues game and getting everyone all riled up and showing his support from the other side of things with the Cardinals. So the team, again, on Wednesday night, they're taking on the Oakland Athletics, 6:15. The players appearing will be Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko and Pat Maroon. Whew, that's a good 1-2-3 punch. I wonder if he's going to bring the Conn Smythe trophy. Also attending with the Stanley Cup are members of the coaching staff, Craig Berube, Steve Ott will be there, David Alexander, Mike Van Ryn, Sean Farrell. Yeah, that sounds like fun. I wonder if there's any tickets left to that, because that's going to be a hot, hot ticket. Hot, for sure. We got a lot to get to tonight. Maybe I want to talk a little bit about Donald Trump and this immigration deal, because I keep hearing it over and over and over again, and this is what drives me insane about all of this. Donald Trump says he's going to enforce immigration law. People go crazy for the enforcement of laws. I mean, we got to have an alternate headline for this sort of thing. What kind of crazy world, upside down world do we live in that we go absolutely crazy when we enforce our own laws? I mean, that's where we're at today. So maybe I'll talk a little bit about that. And I want to give some details about the officer shot, at least the little bit that we know right now. And it's very, very sad. This is Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back. Overnight America here, a little past 11 o'clock, and we are live in St. Louis, Missouri, and watching and monitoring some of the different news. And yeah, every once in a while, they'll pop up a story on President Trump and immigration. CBS news correspondent Errol Barnett reported on that. We're going to get to that in just a moment, but I wanted to give an update. And Alex Degman, you heard at the top of the hour. So an officer was shot and killed in North County in Wellston Sunday afternoon. The cooperative there, police chief John Buchanan, says that Michael Lansdorf was responding to Clay's Wellston Market. 6,200 block of Page around 4:30. Someone reported that he tried to pass a bad check. The suspect tried to pass a bad check. Approximately 5 minutes later, they get a call for officer down. I mean, what kind of crazy, stupid world is this where an officer is called to a business? And it's something as minor as trying to pass a bad check and you would shoot the officer responding? This is so screwed up. There was a small press conference with Chief John Buchanan, and I watched it. Basically, what he said was there's going to be a press conference in more detail tomorrow. He did confirm that Officer Michael Lansdorf has passed away, and he also said they have a suspect and they also have a weapon in custody. Lansdorf leaves a fiance and two children behind. Well, it's a good thing they have the suspect in custody. And the sad thing, too, there's a few things that happened immediately after. So inside of this store, there were people that were there. They witnessed this sort of thing. They saw what went down. And one of the first things the people inside thought to do was to start recording. I don't know what their intention was. Maybe it's just everyone's instinct when something's happening to pull out your phone and hit that record button. I didn't actually see the video. I, however, listened to some of the audio. There's a lot of frantic, I can't believe what's happening. Somebody, please get the paramedics here. And it's amazing how 30 seconds could pass and it feels like a year and a half, because as you get the need and you know that an officer has been shot and you know the paramedics are on the way, but they're not there immediately. And obviously 30 seconds response time is a pretty difficult thing to do, even when it is a police officer. If you can hear the tone in their voice and how frantic they are, please get here. Please get here now. Please get here now. And as this officer, and again, I didn't see the video, but just from what I was listening to, it even sounded like, and it's hard, this is just based on listening to it. It sounded like the officer was, when first shot, responsive and was calling for help while the people inside the store were also calling for help. It's just heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking. You look back at the crime stats, and you can go online and look at the St. Louis crime statistics. They post it once a month, and they'll do crime comparisons at the end of this report. It's like a 90-page report, and it goes through neighborhood, through neighborhood, through neighborhood, all across St. Louis, and you can see how the crimes are stacking up from this year compared to the last, and what you hope to see is a downward trend. Unfortunately, you don't always see that downward trend. Right now, we're still up in total homicides. We're still up in total robbery. We're still up in total burglary. And we're still up in total vehicle theft. Total vehicle theft. There's a couple of things we're down. For example, rape is down and larceny is down. But there's not a lot of bright spots when you look at it, because 2018, we started trending in the right direction. It was better than 2017. And we thought, okay, this is good. Let's say we start to implement some of the ideas and some of the what John Hayden, our police chief, is trying to get in there to take a bite out of this crime. But yeah, it was starting to work. And you thought, if we can do this again and again and again and again, eventually St. Louis is going to be sitting pretty good. But that doesn't happen if you trend up. It doesn't happen if you revert or fall backwards. I mean, we shouldn't just have to accept that crime here in St. Louis has plateaued, and this is as good as it's going to get. We came off of a big-time victory for the St. Louis Blues when people were downtown celebrating and hundreds of thousands were here. Upwards, you know, some say 300,000 or 400,000 or 500,000. Some even say a million and a half. It's no way to tell exactly how many people were here to celebrate. It was an awful lot. But you notice how when we have something in common in a bond like that, and you can have that many people in a small enclosure when it comes to downtown all the way to the Arch grounds, relatively speaking, small, what happens? Well, we behaved ourselves. You know, you didn't see the violent crimes. You didn't see the violence. You didn't see the ripping things down or flipping the cars or lighting or looting. None of those things happen. When we have this common bond, we seem to behave ourselves a little bit better, and it probably helps too. There was something to celebrate. There's a lot to celebrate here in St. Louis. We don't have to wait for a Stanley Cup to be paraded down Market Street before we behave ourselves. There's a lot of things we could be proud of. But then there's also, I don't know, better temperatures, more people outdoors, more people apt to commit crimes, probably issues with prosecutors and trying to find ways to lessen crimes, or let alone decide not to prosecute crimes based on their own discretion and whatnot, the laws. There's a lot of contributing factors to, I think, what's happening here, and it has to turn around pretty quick. It has to turn around pretty quick. Well, I wanted to mention this too, and this is something that was mentioned in the top of the hour with CBS News, and it has to do with crime. CBS News is covering President Trump and immigration and what's going to happen with ICE and the raids. So ICE raids originally scheduled for today in various parts of the U.S. were halted last minute by President Trump, but the raids may have at least a couple more weeks before it now happens. CBS was reporting,
this weekend, the president reversed himself and delayed his plan to catch and deport illegal immigrants, including families. It happened after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke with the president on Friday, requesting a postponement. She welcomed the news, tweeting, "Families belong together."
All right, so here's a few things. Nancy Pelosi requesting a postponement doesn't mean that there's any intention for them to try to work out a solution to this, because if there was, maybe in the last 2 years we could have seen that, because there hasn't really been much of that sort of discussion. So pushing it back 2 weeks, 2 months is the same as pushing it back 2 years in hopes that they're going to try to sandbag again and see if they can get someone else into the White House. So again, there's not much I find value in her word that there's going to be any sort of movement on this sort of thing. Why is it that the national headline when it comes to immigration enforcement is that Let me see me play this part here. I'll play some reaction.
For those feeling threatened, Senator Kamala Harris offers this.
There are those of us who will fight for you and your rights every day. My message to them is do not live in fear.
The Democratic mayor of Oakland, California, did not pull her punches, saying the president's rhetoric is causing harm.
His threats are meant to terrorize good communities like the ones in Oakland.
Yeah, California and Oakland, you know, you talk about the trouble we have here in St. Louis. Yeah, Oakland's really known for being such a super safe community to begin with. Give me a break there. How crazy is it that you have Kamala Harris, who is, again, just pandering every way they can, and then you have the mayor of Oakland that uses the word terrorize, you know, President Trump terrorizing. How crazy is it that they'll say, well, fight for the rights, but you won't fight for the rights to enforce law in the United States? Sure, you have the ability to defend yourself. But guess what? Maybe you have the ability to defend yourself in court when you were ordered to go in front of a judge to look at your immigration. Maybe you skipped out on your ability to defend yourself, thus revoking your ability to defend yourself. Maybe you have orders from the U.S. government to leave this country and you decided not to leave. Maybe, how many things do we have to go through here? Maybe when it comes to the enforcement of our immigration laws, it shouldn't be a national headline that the United States enforces their own laws, and that's scandalous. We got to stop with this. The United States has the ability to enforce their laws. You have the ability to defend yourself. But guess what? From everything I've heard about this immigration and when it comes to ICE, we're talking about people that had the ability to defend themselves, had the ability to go out there, and they decided not to. And they have these deportation orders, and they wait until they're in custody before they yell and scream. Oh, no, no, no. I swear I was going to take care of that. No, you weren't. You weren't going to take care of it. You weren't going to take care of it. It's so frustrating. And then you see the politicians jumping and trying to take advantage of this. Shame on them. Honestly, shame on them. You know, they're just doing this to pander. We got the Democrat debates that are coming up over the next couple of months. And we got one that's, I think, a week or two away. All of these things that are on there just ready to start. Okay. You have them trying to put a foothold in certain buzzworthy style issues, and you see them trying to separate themselves from the pack. So they take these certain stances, and they know this is going to rile up their base. And you know what? She should know better when it comes to immigration law. She should know better for all these things, Kamala Harris. But this is what she knows. She knows this is how she's going to try to get over a certain percentage point, so she's not on the secondary stage. You know, the ones that don't have enough percentage points in order to get to the main stage when it comes to these debates. To me, it's pathetic. I can see right through them. Hey, Jeff calling in from Ferguson. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
Like to talk about the immigration thing tonight.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think this is another play that Trump can use for the next 2 weeks to show how the Democrat candidates are more for protecting the people who aren't supposed to be here than for the actual Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't even have to say people that aren't supposed to be here. We can just say flat out, people are who here breaking our laws. What they're basically saying is we should turn the blind eye on someone here that is breaking laws, and they should never be able to be held responsible for those crimes. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, I also want to ask if about the people who wants to close down the detention centers where they're temporarily being held.
Yes.
If we can't let them go, and we can't because most of them don't show up for the asylum hearings because once they are released in the U.S., they just mostly disappear.
Right. Exactly.
And the Democrats don't want them to wait in Mexico for them to have their hearings. Then, so what are we supposed to do?
There's nothing we can't. Unless we had open borders, there's nothing we can do.
That's what I want. I want to ask those people who are for, and would they let a complete stranger without knowing who they are, where they came from, live with them and their family without knowing anything about them?
Okay. All right, Jeff. Hey, thank you for your call.
Good night.
Yeah. I don't necessarily like the argument of would you let that person into your home argument, but I will say this. there's a lot of things we don't know about the people that are entering this country. For example, we don't know what they're bringing with them. We have all kinds of issues when it comes to the anti-vax movement. And of course, there's no history when it comes to medical care. And there could be a lot of diseases. And that is a major concern that we're seeing a lot of times coming through this border. And that may be one of the bigger concerns that are happening there. So I wanted to, I could take some more of your calls on this if you'd like. 436-7900. That's the number you can call or text. Or 800-925-1120. And thank you for Jeff for calling that one in. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, here we are. Talking some immigration and looking at the news with President Trump, halting at least for the next couple of weeks. I want to take some of your calls on that. We do have this open phone line you're invited to call at 436-7900, 800-925-1120 if you prefer the 800 number. Remember back in the day, it was like, you felt dirty calling an 800 number. You're like, oh boy, 800 number. You know what goes on those 800 numbers. Michael from Ellington, what's going on, Michael?
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I just wanted to comment. Is I don't understand how these federal, you know, these elected officials are not in jail for breaking federal law. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and allowing this to happen, I was involved in a car accident like 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. Totaled my car out from three illegals pulling out in front of me on the highway. And now they're gone. My insurance has to cover it. And, you know, it's, everything else is coming out of my pocket. Mm. But, I blame, like, the cities, their addresses in Chicago. And I blame them for giving them legal licenses to drive on our roads illegally.
So let me just back up. So when this accident happened, you were able to catch a license plate. And did they flee the scene or did they stay?
No, they actually stayed and showed a legal license and proof of insurance.
Uh-huh.
But it turned out they had neither.
So,
and they can't even find these people anymore.
Oh, so they basically disappeared. Someone to be held responsible, there was, you know, it's hard to find someone that we don't know where they're at to begin with.
Exactly.
Oh, so then it just pins it on your insurance. And yes, of course, it drives up insurance rates. It does this for everyone. You know, and it's not just something
sure.
that you're going to be paying more for. We all pay more because of situations like that. And it happens all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is.
You know,
that
I mean,
is a shame.
It's just, you know, like I said, I don't understand how they're not in jail for protecting people that are here breaking our laws.
Yeah, and
then
so,
they're breaking.
When you say people who are protecting, you would mention the politicians, like, for example, Kamala Harris right now, who's out there and advocating, like, you know, these politicians, like, advocating abolishing ICE and making sure we're never
right.
allowed to enforce our immigration laws and things like that.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. You know, they're elected to protect Americans. They take an oath of office to protect our Constitution and protect us. And yet they're doing exactly the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, there's a point there. Hey, Michael, thank you for your call.
All right. Appreciate it, Ryan. Thank
yeah.
you.
So, yeah, there's a point there. I mean, the point is we do have elected officials and we're electing some officials to turn their back on the law. So as opposed to changing law or changing the laws that the citizens need to follow, they are trying to protect the ones that are disobeying the law. We see that all over the place. Even our prosecutors here. Kim Gardner and Wesley Bell, for example, you know, if they want to use their discretion of the things to enforce and not to enforce, a police officer could catch someone red-handed breaking the law. We could arrest that person, and then they'll say, no, we just don't feel like charging that person because of, you know, fill in the blank, whatever social justice they want to try to march with there for that day. And then they'll just let it go, and the people continue to commit the crimes, and you see these repeat offenders over and over and over again. Because we give this mentality that, it would be unfair for reasons, I guess. Because when you break the law, I guess maybe you get a get-out-of-jail-free card if there's some sort of social justice thing going on at the time. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Situations like that is what drives me the craziest. Politicians that are going out there and representing people that, number one, aren't legal citizens in this country. And number two, people that have found a way to make it into this country. And we're going to try to harbor those, you know, like sanctuary cities or whatever. But we're going to try to harbor as opposed to let them go through what is the legal process to become this citizen, that's also very disappointing. I don't know if they've necessarily committed a crime, but they shouldn't be a politician if that's the case. Well, I take that back. That's what politicians do. Maybe what they shouldn't be doing is having any influence over trying to have any moral high ground when it comes to enforcing laws, because they're basically enforcing lawlessness. They're enforcing what their version of the law is, which is not the U.S. law. And essentially, they're not standing for what the oath they took. And this is how you would think would be an opportunity to vote those people out of office. But it's not necessarily used as an opportunity. They use it to pander to certain groups because it is an election year and they want to become president or whatever. And they'll continue to pander and pander and pander and do their thing because they know by numbers game, if there's a bunch of, what does Rush Limbaugh call them, low information voters, they'll see that sort of thing and eat it right up. So that's a shame. I think most people, even if you are in the left or right, get frustrated over the lack of consistency when it comes to enforcement with immigration policy. You know, the United States is put into a terrible position when it comes to our immigration because we've had these relaxed laws. We've had these president after president after president not enforce the laws that should be enforced. We don't put security the way we should at the southern border. And we go through this cycle. Another president comes in, we go through a cycle, and the president's reelected, and we go through a cycle, and the president's reelected, and it happens over and over and over again. Now we're at the point where we have such a major issue when they'll do these polls and they'll guess that there's over 20 or 30 million people in this country illegally. And now we have this problem because, well, we've ignored it for this long, and then all of a sudden we have someone that wants to come in and say, okay, we're finally going to start enforcing laws, and everyone goes crazy. It's just frustrating all the way around. When the next 2 weeks, I don't know what kind of negotiations are going to be happening. I don't know if Nancy Pelosi is actually going to show up or any of those, but I don't think there is an answer. I think what the president really wants is to fully fund a southern border wall. So there's a way to enforce the immigration laws. We have a better way to process and upgrade the processing when it comes to the judges and the personnel that are there, so we're not running out of budgeting because we have so many people we're housing there. If we can get all of these things up to code and on the southern border, we wouldn't have all these issues long term. But essentially, you have these politicians that are trying to continue to make this border issue a crisis. They want it to be a perpetual crisis because perpetually, it's a great way for them to continue to drum up their voter base. Perpetually, it's the best strategy that they have. Oh, these are, you know, terrible. Look at that. You're detaining children. Well, okay, if we don't have open borders, essentially what you're saying is the only way we could not detain people is if we just open the borders. That's what you want. It's just frustrating. Real quick before we go to break, let me get to Joe in Tennessee. Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Quick question. I know that I've heard many times politicians talking about how illegal aliens or undocumented workers are paying in, you know, millions of dollars, billions of dollars into Social Security and, you know, 50-70% paying the taxes working in our country. They get driver's license, but they're not registered U.S. citizens. How do they get around? Do you know how they get around that? And why are they paying into the U.S. system if they're not U.S. citizens?
Well,
do you have any idea?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that are happening. So you had the DACA process that went down with President Obama for all those years. So it gave them, you know, temporary status that allowed them to, you know, do all of these things like pay taxes or get into Social Security, things like that, as a ploy to get them, at least we know who they are, and maybe a path to citizenship or whatever it was. So, I mean, there was a push for those sort of things. But then you also have these situations where, like, maybe someone's here illegally and they're using a Social Security number that's not necessarily theirs. So just so they can get a job to begin with, their employer continues to take taxes out. So they're paying that side of it because a lot of times, you know, the employers are the ones that are giving money to Social Security. They're just getting the check at the end, but they don't have any of the responsibility. So a lot of times it's happening on the employer end and they're just paying it anyway. So you don't see a lot of under the table stuff anymore, right? The under the table stuff, that's kind of the really low-level jobs. So that's starting to fade away. A lot of times, at least the employers want to do
the right thing and try to do things legally. But they'll turn the blind eye if they're like, okay, if the numbers go through, then at least plausible deniability or whatever that deniable plausibility. I'm saying the word wrong, but they feel like they're allowed to do it and they can get away with it if they at least pay into it. So I feel like there's a lot of that going into.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because it just seems, you know, that would be one way of keeping them documented and one way of keeping them, getting them into the system. It just seems like, you know, these undocumented ones, we're putting so much, you know, emphasis on, you know, getting them round up and sent back. But if they're, you know, they're going through the process of paying taxes, you'd think that they would just want to become citizens and get through the process anyway, you know?
Oh, maybe. If they had the opportunity to, you feel like the ones that had the opportunity to and came to this country going through what the legal process is are the ones that you see assimilate and come into our culture and want to become American citizens. But the ones that come in here without going through that process, I feel like they just assume if they're here long enough, they can, you know, raise their hands, call Ollie Ollie and oxen free, and then people are just going to forget about them. But, you know, based on our history, that's basically how it's worked for decades, so I can see why they would believe that. Well, now they have this uncertainty of immigration laws being enforced, so now they're starting to really worry about it and sweat it. I would think even if it is a situation where they're just coming in and they are paying their taxes and they are trying to do all of these things, I think the real question is, did they still commit a crime? Are they still committing a crime? Let's say if there was an order for them to leave this country. And if all of these things are happening, they have to face their crimes. Otherwise, you're just doing mass amnesty for a bunch of people that have these looming crimes that they've committed. So I don't think you want that either. But that's what a lot of the Democrats are pushing. So it's a tough situation. But again, no one dragged anyone here. Well, I guess you can say with the DACA kids, that's a whole different scenario. But I'm talking about the people that willingly came in here. They put themselves into this situation. And then, there's an opportunity for them to put their kids in this situation, which, again, is unfair to the kids. But, it's a tough situation.
I guess what we need to do is pretty much find a way to maybe make it just an easier road. I don't know, to getting citizenship. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what the name is of the game is. If I did, everything would be solved. But thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Bye. Yeah, and let me point this out. I thought President Trump actually had a really good plan, and part of that plan was road to citizenship, which not a lot of Republicans like, but I think this is what you have to do. When you look at these young kids that were brought over because of their parents and they're at a very young age, didn't know any better, President Trump basically said, okay, we're going to do road to citizenship. This is what we do. We say 10 or 12 years down the line, basically, you have to sign up for essentially what was the DACA to begin with. And as long as you follow our laws, don't commit any crimes, don't own a gun, don't vote, all of these things that you're required to do already, if you have a track record of doing these things, get an education, high school or college or whatever it is, get a job, pay your taxes, be a part of your community. If you do all of these things, then in 12 years, your citizenship will be granted. If you can't do these things, if you commit crimes, if you own a gun illegally, if you vote illegally, you know, you can't graduate high school, you can't get a job, all of these things, then I'm sorry, you don't get granted. So that was part of it, which I thought was actually a really good compromise. And I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I thought it was a good compromise. Part of this, too, is in order for this to work, we have to stop the inflow of people that are coming into this country, which includes building a border wall and upping the amount of resources we have there when it comes to processing people trying to enter this country. So as opposed to them getting a court date 2 or 3 years down the line, you try to get them a court date within a week. I mean, we'll just expedite the process, okay? So instead of them getting into our country and then staying here, overstaying their visas, trying to go to the courts through asylum, skipping on the court date, and we lose track of them, and then 18 years later, we say, oh yeah, now we found you, now we're going to enforce the law. Instead of those things happening, expedite the process. Have it done all at the border. So as opposed to giving them a ticket anywhere in the United States while they waited out for 18 or 20 years, do it immediately. You know, we got to start doing this stuff. And we have the technology. We can expedite this sort of thing. We got to get on it. And unfortunately, Democrats don't want that. They want open borders. They want mass amnesty. They want that 20 million, 30 million voter base in there to help them take control. And they also want the influx to go into the big states so they get more congressional seats. They want all of these things. It's strategy to them. They don't want to enforce immigration law. They don't have any intention of enforcing immigration law. They don't have any intention of even trying to negotiate on immigration law. They want open borders. This is plain and simple to me. So we got issues. And it doesn't make things better with their plan. And the Republicans, at least, I thought, put something on the table. Nancy Pelosi and all of them said, we're not going to even consider it. So as long as border wall's on the table, I don't see any other way around it. I really don't. Well, thanks for that call. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We could take some more of your calls coming up, too, on Overnight America KMOX. I think we're going to have to save this interview with Miriam Heyman from the Ruderman Family Foundation. They have an event that they're working with the Cardinals on Tuesday morning, which is kind of cool. You can bring your kids out there. A little bit older kids, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-olds. I think up to 13, 14. We'll let her talk about the event, but real cool thing that's going down. And, you know, if you like to take your kids down to Busch Stadium, onto the field, that's a good opportunity for you. And it doesn't look like it's going to be raining. So that's a big plus right there. And we ran out of time, and I had a text message that came in. Let me read this. It says, as an officer, illegals registered their cars with current tags, but they don't have a driver's license or insurance. I ticket them and tow the car, then tell the tow company don't release it back to them unless they show current insurance, which makes sense. So that's kind of interesting. And that's probably a better way to combat this sort of thing, as opposed to, you know, go on your way. When you look at sometimes, it's almost like, hey, we know you're not allowed to drive this vehicle, and we know this shouldn't have happened, but, you know, go ahead and don't do it again, you young whippersnapper. And that shouldn't be like that. So, good, you have to do something. And you're right, it does hurt everyone's insurance rates when these things happen. It really does. What else we got next hour? I got a couple of food stories. I want to talk about Kansas City crime. I want to talk about St. Louis growing slower than they anticipated. Steve Stenger update and cronies getting in trouble, y'all. Plus, American drivers and what they do in the car, like use their phone way too much. Toy Story 4 came out this weekend. If anyone saw that, I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. We got a lot to get to. If you can follow me on Twitter, that'd be nice, at Ryan Recker. I like to check out Twitter and see what's going on. I normally find some pretty good stuff to talk about on the show in there, but better yet, it's an easy way for you to communicate with me when I'm not on the air. You know, I'm not at home constantly looking at the KMOX texting line. I'm not there thinking to myself, oh, I better log in and see what people are texting. This is what I prefer for you to do. If it's during the show, you can always text me at 436-7900. Or you can call in 800-925-1120. But any other time, maybe you're listening to this as a podcast after the fact. It's just as easy for you to go on Twitter at Ryan Recker. But if you don't want to create a Twitter account, that's fine too. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast by going to kmox.com/ONA. I do watch the statistics on there, and I love seeing the hundreds and hundreds of people that go to the show after the fact to take a listen. And I'm sure there's people that just listen only to the podcast, exclusively to the podcast. So if you're one of those people listening all the way to the end of this hour, I salute you, because that's a pretty awesome thing for you to do. What I would love for everyone to do, if you listen to the podcast or not, find a way to give me a nice review on the podcast. It helps other people find the show to begin with. The discovery of the podcast is a hard thing. But if you were to go online and, you know, you got your mobile phone, it only takes like 30 seconds. If you have an iPhone, go onto the podcast app that's built into your iPhone. Give me a 5-star review. Just search for Overnight America. Press review. 5 stars. Boom. And then let other people know, hey, I listen to the show. It's fun. Great way to support the show. It's Overnight America. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.